All right, here we go. We're recording now, so whenever Brian wants to stop noshing on biscuit,
it won't be good later.
It won't take that long.
There's no time.
Brian, are you a car eater kind of guy?
No, very rarely.
You don't eat in the car? I if I've picked up food, I like to have a little snacky something in the car. I'm not a eat all my food in the car guy, but I'm a like reach into the bag for like a couple fries guy.
I almost always have to wash my hands before I eat.
Oh, you just... I just naturally have clean hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like mine.
Also, I keep a bottle of hand sanitizer in my center console.
I just like mine clean.
One of the worst decisions I ever made was
sticky steering wheel.
I was on a road trip for like 2-3 hours, and sure. I was hungry and decided to stop at Subway and get a meatball sub.
Oh no!
And eat it there in the restaurant.
And eat it in the car. And that motherfucker fell apart on me so hard I practically died.
You needed like extra mozzarella to act as glue so it can come apart.
You needed like a grandmother's quilt.
It was still wrapped in the sub, but somehow one of those motherfucking meatballs still managed to yeet itself out the side. Yes. And it went straight in between the console and the seat, even though it's a meatball. It shouldn't be able to fit.
This is a great segue into our movie, because meatball subs legitimately are a food where I love all of the component parts and hate it when they're put together in that fashion. That's because fair. Inevitably, it's gonna get soggy before I can, like, unless I'm power throating that meatball sub.
Toast the shig out of it.
Like, yeah, but I like a light toast on my sandwiches. I don't like a full
toast.
Wheat.
You don't like wheat bread?
Wheat bread's fine. Okay,
it just doesn't get soggy as fast.
But inevitably, it's going to get soggy at some point.
Yeah.
Unless I'm just like opening my mouth Tom and Jerry style and just like pushing it down. Exactly.
Throat goating it.
And similar to that, the movie this evening is one where the component pieces are fine, but put together in this fashion, in my opinion, is a piece of hot trash. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I got big ants.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I'm actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and you're not my dad, okay?
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and belief is a gift I have yet to receive.
And we're opinionated.
And tonight we're continuing Indiana Jones month series, whatever,
I guess, yeah.
With Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out in 2008 and has a 77 on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's generous.
You're telling me. It was written by David Koepp, George Lucas, and Jeff Nathanson, and directed by Steven Spielberg. And it stars Harrison Ford, Cate Blanchett, Shia LaBeouf, Karen Allen, and many others.
Did you just fuck up Shia LaBeouf's name? What do you call him?
If you ask me to say Shia LaBeouf, just like, hey, who's this face? Oh, that's Shia LaBeouf. If you ask me to read his name, his letters don't spell his name.
How do they spell his name?
Shia LaBeouf.
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 LaBeouf. Yeah, French.
LaBeouf. In 1957, Indiana Jones becomes entangled in a Soviet plot to uncover the secret behind the mysterious artifacts known as the Crystal Skulls. I just realized something. For a lot of people, this is the final episode of the Indiana Jones series, because, you know, we'll have already released our episode that we haven't watched on the new one. We haven't watched it yet, though. Yeah, exactly. It's a weird little time travel thing we got going on right now.
Interesting. We've moved on from Nazis. We are up to Soviets now.
The Nazis are all dead.
And
so,
you know what helps with time travel?
What's that?
Aliens.
That's true.
The Nazis are never really all dead. There's always some
There's always
Nazis.
A couple left.
I mean, Soviets, Nazis, they're basically the same thing, right?
Well, more or less.
Very different.
Soviets aren't
In all the
as
important
good.
Ways that they're okay to
in,
kill,
in
then
the way
fine.
That they are
the like, bad guy escape
troopers
joke.
We can kill at length.
Yes.
Sure. I saw this movie in theaters when it came out.
So did I.
And regretted it
so
the
did
day I.
I
saw it. I don't remember much. I remember that at some point, I think... And again, I have not looked up anything in preparation for this movie, so this is just going off the memories stored in the bank. But I think at some point they like journey to the center of the earth and find a pyramid with a bunch of alien Mayans on it, maybe, or something.
That's more or less right. Like
I remember a bunch of giant ants too.
The crystal skull thing is a Mayan thing. So
okay. So the title is the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but what you just said is crystal skulls. Are there more than one?
I think
it would make sense. One if it's the like skull an, of
I
each
think it's
alien.
An actual alien skull, but there are lots of other similar looking skulls that are like rock reliefs.
That could be okay. I my memory is that like they have like one in the museum or something, but like they're trying to find the real one or something like that. So but maybe it's closer to what Caleb is saying.
Either way, we all remember that particular part as being a joke.
Yeah.
I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen this movie?
I've never seen
Lucky
it.
Lucky you.
You can tell younger Brian definitely missed out.
I
wasn't into Indiana Jones when I was younger.
It has been 15 years since I saw this movie, and Harrison Ford was too old to be doing this then.
Damn right.
Yeah.
And they also were trying to set up Shia LaBeouf as like
the new
Harrison Ford to carry
the
torch on.
They did nothing with that. Mm.
Well, I mean, they do something with him in the next one if the rumors I've heard are true, but you know,
yeah, but
it's
been 15 years.
Oh, it's not a good thing.
And Shia LaBeouf has continued to get crazier.
Have they succeeded in this in a movie where they like pass the buck? Because like Bill and Ted fucking was awful, where they tried to pass the buck to like the girl Bill and Ted, but their names are also Bill and Ted.
Wait, I don't.
What?
Yeah.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm glad we didn't do that.
I've never seen any Bill and Ted's. So.
None?
Oh, fuck, we should do that.
I've seen zero Bill and Ted's.
All right, let's do that.
No.
Let's do it sometime. It'll be fun.
I think passing the torch works best when it's not done directly, where you have like,
yeah,
hello, I am Luke Skywalker.
I'm
passing
old now.
My lightsaber onto you, Rey. Like, yeah. I think that is less effective, regardless how you feel about that movie.
Yeah.
It's less effective than something to say, like Star Trek when it gets to Next Generation, and like you'll hear a couple like in the first couple of episodes they'll reference Spock or Kirk,
right?
But it's not like Kirk's coming up and good job Picard, pat on the back, you did a great job.
I mean, McCoy was in the first episode of the new Next Generation, but
yeah. It's not
one
it's
episode
not this
out of
movie.
How many?
Yes,
it's not
the real
Indiana
McCoy?
Jones and the Crystal Skull where
Dr. McCoy, I think that's his name, right?
Yeah. The real McCoy.
Bones? Yeah.
I get your joke.
Oh,
thank you.
Shit,
I appreciate
you're
you.
You're welcome.
I'm a dumbass. My bad.
I want to get onto this because we're padding time here poorly because none of us remember shit.
I think there'll be plenty.
I remember
like
this movie sucks. That's what I remember. That's the important thing.
Let's just say that like I might need to get a root canal in the next couple of months, and I'm looking forward to that experience about as much as I am watching this damn movie.
That's fair.
Here's my metric is the last movie I watched for the podcast prior to watching this one was The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And release order is going to be different, but the last one I watched was The Flash, so I'm going to compare it to that one and see which one annoyed the piss out of me more.
I feel like it's got to be. Like, this movie was bad. It was not The Flash bad.
We will see. We'll be back in a minute, but before we go, if you are enjoying our episodes and want to help support us, you can do so on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You can get early access to all of our episodes. That includes all of the good Indiana Jones, which are already up there.
Whatever series we've done between now and then.
That's right. You'll get early access there. As soon as we're done editing, it gets up on the Patreon, patreon.com/opinionated. We're also on Discord now. Come hang out with us. We have a good time chatting with you guys, sharing memes, all that fun stuff. The link to our Discord is going to be in the description as well as in our Twitter bio. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Indiana Jones and the Kingdom. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Legend says that a crystal skull was stolen from a mythical lost city in the Amazon, supposedly built out of solid gold. Guarded by the living dead. Whoever returns the skull to the city temple will be given control over its power.
You will help us find it.
A simple yes will do.
Well, we will do this old-fashioned way.
Put your hands down, will you? You're embarrassing us. Don't touch anything.
Wait, why? because of what they would find if they searched for it.
I'm assuming that's a bad one.
Yeah, did they find a lot of sexy pictures?
He's the Prowler in that universe.
Ah! Yeah.
Let's just say that the Rule 34 community has thoroughly gotten its talented drawing hands on Pepsi Man.
He's been around
for a
while.
What the fuck is a Pepsi Man?
You don't, yeah, Pepsi you don't remember Man. Pepsi Man?
He you was don't like, remember Pepsi Man?
No. He was like a metallic buff guy with no face, but he had the Pepsi logo on him.
I gotta look this up.
They made a game, too.
Really?
There's a Pepsi Man game, yeah.
Huh.
Most logo characters have a game.
Search for Rule 34 Pepsi Man.
I'm not. No, I'm good.
7-Up's guy used to have a pretty solid game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Pepsi Man.
I have never seen that before in my entire life. What the fuck is this? Huh. That's very strange.
It's Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man!
I feel like Pepsi Man would look better with the skull shape of the alien in this movie.
I feel like I just got Mandela affected, but like in reverse, to where a thing that didn't exist in your universe just suddenly exists in this one.
Oh, man. All right, we're back. We watched it.
It's better than I remembered.
Yeah, but not bad enough to talk about.
I don't know.
Everyone I've talked to like super shits on this movie. And it's not. I mean, it's not that bad. Flash.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like,
it's not great or any. Like, I see that they're trying to make an Indiana Jones and like kind of following the formula.
I could have done without it, but this does not offend me that it exists the way that I thought it did.
There are issues with the movie that are a lot less just like in your face than, again, comparing it to The Flash, because that's when we just watched it, right? In The Flash, one of my gripes was the main character is really annoying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Indy's fine. And I was surprised because I thought, based on how weird Shia LaBeouf has gotten, I think I retroactively went back and made him weird in this movie in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then going back and watching it, I was like, oh, Shia LaBeouf is actually fine.
Yeah.
I mean, what weird stuff has he done?
Fine, but not great.
I think the issue is that everyone like kind of took him as like, they're going to try and make him the next Indiana Jones or something.
I mean, I'm sure they intended to.
I don't,
there's a lot of scenes in this movie that like kind of imply that.
Yeah.
Sort of, but not really. He's never stepping on Indy's toes. Like he doesn't feel like he's trying to take over that role. He is a different character that happens to be his son.
I just think that Shia LaBeouf does not play a rebellious punk particularly well.
I'd agree with that.
He's the guy from the Transformers movie. He's a dweeb more so than anything.
Yeah.
But he was cooler than I thought he would. Like, he pulled it off better than I expected. Like, going into it, I agree.
But I
like,
wouldn't that, say he pulled it off well.
I didn't
say
he pulled it off
well.
I
said
really
better
quick
than expected.
Like, they started with him being like a... Like Ray Rumble and like angry and like
it felt like
doing
it was the
his Brooklyn Rage thing. Then immediately, like, I'm a background character and I don't do stuff now.
It did feel like the movie kind of put him in a backseat more and more as it went on, which is not the way to do that at all.
Well, it towards the last third of the movie, because even up until they're launching off of a cliff into a waterfall,
he still
feels like he's participating fairly well. He's interacting. He's having his one-liners and his quips with Marion and with Indy and stuff.
Yeah, but
and
he's not a Brooklyn Rage kid.
No, I agree. But as far as like them, like his character, once Indy's like, listen, kid, you don't got to be mad all the time. He's like, I'll just be a sidekick now.
This character who I've created for my entire life, now I'm not going to do it anymore.
When I talk about him, you're right that he doesn't feel like he's stepping on Indy's toe. He's not getting in Indy's way.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of scenes where he feels like they're setting him up to be the next Indy.
Where Indy is like nodding, approving, like,
Where he's getting some of the action scenes that Indy would normally be the one handling.
Right,
like there's the scene where he's fencing on the cars and getting a bunch of nut punches.
Literally swinging from vines like Tarzan.
After seeing Rufio's fight, I was like, why isn't he horrified that he's about to see his son get skewered by a psychic KGB operative? He's just like,
he's just impressed.
There's no way everyone around me dies every day.
I kind of think that part of the issue is I think you could take Marion out of this movie.
Yeah,
and I feel like we don't need triple agent guy like that. None of that really adds that much to the movie. I like Marion. I'm glad we get to see her again, but she doesn't add much to the movie. She comes in kind of too late and doesn't do enough. Like, that's irreplaceable.
Well, there's a lot of characters like that. They get a ton of screen time without the right kind of setup. Because I think about some of the side characters in the previous Indiana Jones movie. not talking about King, not talking about Temple of Doom, because I didn't see that recently. But in a lot of the other ones, characters either are only brief parts of the movie,
or they're then, there for the whole movie,
or they're there for the whole movie, but you get a lot more setup of like the relationship that they have to Indy.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about how in Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's a scene where the military guys come and explain to Indy what's going on with the Ark.
Yeah.
Hitler's looking for it, and so on.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good example of how to do an exposition dump in a way that isn't really boring and
feels natural and just feels gets natural. Out of the way.
Adds to your excitement for things to come in the movie, and it works really well. In this one, we get a lot of characters that are just there, and we kind of have to intuit what their relationship to Indy is and what their history is. We get like the guy that ends up, you know, he pretends to be a CIA double crosser, but he's really just like a dick who's working with the Russians,
right?
And he'll say stuff like, "Indy, don't you remember back in Berlin?" And
he, why did he say that line right then, secretly to Indy?
Because
he's
just,
trying to convince Indy that he's secretly
they were CIA
a
when they were in Berlin.
Agent, whatever. Yeah,
but why?
Like
what?
So that Indy's on his side and will trust him.
I guess, but I mean, either way, they had Indy like
maybe he's
a part of the plan.
He's just he's expecting Indy to escape at some point because he knows Indy, and so
that's
he's
fair.
Saying, "I'll plan ahead for when that happens."
But you get stuff like that. You get stuff like Oxley, the other the old archaeologist
I think
in
that
this
he,
movie.
I think that he's fine. I'm okay with Oxley because his character is kind of one note, but it serves a purpose, and like nothing else could fulfill that.
Yeah,
we need that one.
He's like a. He's like a DM character where, like, I need them to know which way they're going.
Exactly. The riddles that he tells you, he could just remember what the riddles are and getting him at the beginning.
You could have him
solving the mysteries as he goes anyway.
You could have him in a book, but it's more interesting to have him as a, like, weird character.
Not with an entourage this large.
Yeah, with an entourage this large.
It's
absolutely not more interesting to have just a guy who's out of his mind spouting nonsense babble. It's much more interesting to have Indy continue doing, like, adventure archaeology stuff where he's, like, trying to figure out the puzzles and stuff.
Does is he even an archaeologist?
he's effectively
Brian. Don't you remember the care with which he stabbed open that mummy and just tore at it with his bare hands
and
like
then
an animal?
Left it and told no one about it?
Like all good archaeologists do.
Going back to the cast, I think that we lose Marion and we lose Double Agent CIA Man early on in the movie. Like, have him get killed during the scene, like, when they're fighting around with the Ark and all that shit. Like, have that happen, get him out of the way, get Marion out of this movie until maybe, like, a cameo at the very end to, like, then tell you that Mutt is actually Indy's son or something like that. Do stuff like that and just condense and give us a better villain. Because I like Cate Blanchett. But she's not intimidating.
She needs to be the right hand. She doesn't need to be the big bad. She needs to be like...
Something like
whoever
that,
whoever fist fights Indy at some point but loses.
She needs to have actual psychic powers, I think. Like,
yeah,
she
it's weird
did,
they introduced that and then, like,
didn't
nothing.
Do anything with it. Yeah. Like, if she
also,
did...
Also, she chews up that Russian accent.
Especially in the first scene.
It goes all over the place.
It got better, later in the movie, but that first scene, it was awful.
Yeah, he was pretty bad consistently.
Oosh.
I also just don't like the story of...
It's too all over the place. It's
very,
scattered and
because
not
the
focused.
Story is aliens came down to Peru.
Sure. Which is it's a real conspiracy theory thing.
Sure.
Like, they're not pulling from nothing.
Aliens helped build blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever pyramids exist in the world, people are like,
aliens like pointing.
Those rocks look too big for people to lift.
Right. Yeah.
But Oxley finds the alien temple that the Mayans built around the spaceship, right?
Right. He finds the temple and the skull, but he doesn't know to, like, smash the little heads with the sand to get it to, like, set up, so he doesn't know where to take the skull, I guess.
The gist of it is aliens came to Earth in Peru, helped the Mayans set up their culture, and passed on a lot of technology to them.
Sure.
Spanish
taught them how to bury themselves into the walls and sleep
right,
for a long
of course.
Time.
Sleep for 10,000 years, yeah.
Spaniards came. And we're like, we want all the gold. Show me the gold. I want to know where the gold's at.
Which apparently at least one of them figured out the sand tower trap, because you saw at least one, if not two, bodies inside that thing.
Correct. Sure. And also, these conquistadors got into that room and stole one of the skulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Because at the end of the movie, we see that all the skulls merged together to form just one alien.
Yeah. Right.
The alien...
Because it was a hive mind. That was what it was trying to symbolize.
And that's what hive minds are, is one dude, but then...
I'm assuming that was a mental representation of all their minds together. I don't think...
Yeah, that's how I take it.
Maybe.
That does like make more sense.
That's the only thing I could put it together.
Yeah, the skeletons are all separate beings, but they were melding into one to kind of give you an idea of what that's supposed
like,
to look
we
like.
Are How Legion did they let
the Spaniard
many.
Dude get away with coming in and stealing one of them?
They're it's down.
A story for another time.
I don't think they're against
They've got blow your head out your ass with fire powers, and they're just
they,
like...
They also
maybe
clear,
that guy's
I mean,
wish
he
was,
snuck
let me
up
take
when
your
they were
fucking
sleeping.
Head.
I'm willing to give it a little bit of a mulligan, because they're clearly alien creatures that have, like, other priorities.
They don't know the value of head.
Well, they're not human. Like, it doesn't matter to them. Clearly, he can be separated from his head for, like, thousands of years and just have it pop back on and he's fine.
Well,
so,
no,
like,
but they can't rehive mind and leave Earth until he's back, and right. The whole thing is
I
like,
don't think it's that they couldn't.
It
they
drives
just chose
people
not to.
Well, no, the skull that was stolen drives people mad, and in the process of driving people mad, tells them, take me home.
Yeah, yes. Like it's trying to do that.
So
I
it
think,
clearly does
I think
have a problem
trying,
with being removed.
I don't think it's that, trying to make you mad. I think we can't comprehend it.
Correct.
We
it
have
has a problem
heads.
Being removed.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
what
yeah,
you're
see,
saying.
Like maybe they were just in there, he grabbed one and like ran off with it. And they couldn't stop
like
it for some reason.
A
pinched
little kid, like this yeah. conquistador, just running out the door, giggling with a skull in his
no,
hand.
No, he yeah. just put a tiny little shroud of like toilet paper over its eyes, and he was fine. It
yeah,
can't hurt
yeah,
you if you
yeah,
do that. And it
oh,
can't be magnetized
God.
If you do that.
Oh, I hate that so much. And I don't hate it because it like, oh, this ruins the movie, right? Because yeah. there's plenty of times where we've nitpicked about little stuff and
sure.
it's fun to go off on it.
Yeah.
And the reason that I dislike it is because one of the reasons I like so the 1 in 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of the Indiana Jones movie is because it's got supernatural shit in it,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but it happens in a world that feels very grounded in reality.
Yeah, I'd go with that, yeah.
Granted, Indy is doing, like, adventurous stuff that the average person would have no chance of accomplishing, but he's still, like... trying to whip I mean, over gorges because he's affected by gravity.
I mean, it wasn't right? even like that, like over the top either. Like it's a real
right.
person could do this stuff.
Right. And this movie feels like it breaks that convention to a point where there's it's not even supernatural anymore. It feels like it's switched over into sci-fi.
I mean, it has.
Right. And that, and to me, mm-hmm. there might be people that don't have an issue with that. To me, I prefer it to be like there's supernatural stuff, not just like, It's
I think the consensus when this came out was that people weren't happy.
That it was. Definitely.
But also, we talk about like the skull just randomly affecting magnetism sometimes.
That's my beef is the sometimes.
Time.
I don't mind that it can magnetize any metal that it feels like. I hate how inconsistent it is.
I don't mind that it can be blocked sometimes. I hate how inconsistent it feels. Yeah, it breaks that sense of it being grounded in reality.
I'm much more okay with it now that at the end of the movie than I was at the beginning. When it was very inconsistent for literally no reason, and we were like, gold's not even magnetic, but the movie brings that up as well.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a step in the right direction for me, because it's clearly meant to be something that's
sure,
not
sure.
normal. Whatever.
What about
it's
magnetizes
also,
guns sometimes, but not all the time?
It's also a sentient being of some kind, so it could be that it is trying to do stuff, and that's what explains
but
the
But it's also
but
comparable to like a parrot,
that's
where
me.
If you put a blanket over it, it knows it's bedtime.
That's definitely me apologizing for the movie,
yeah.
and something that should be in the movie rather than something I have to come up with.
A skull in a box should not know that Indy, a football field away, is throwing gunpowder at
correct.
The
yes, I agree.
And it's just sailing across the room. But meanwhile, the gun, like they even, as they're moving the skull, the lights in the ceiling start like pointing towards it because mm-hmm. they're being pulled. And if that was going to be the case,
it should be happening the whole time.
The moment they walked into the Area 51 warehouse, they should have noticed, oh, all the lights are pointed right here. That's probably where it is.
Or it should have been that, like, as soon as they open it, like, that's when they all kind of think. Like, maybe it was suppressing the magnetic
field. Well, but that gets
sometime.
Rid of the cool thing Indy does with throwing the gunpowder.
No, no, I mean, like, it, like, have it clear that when they open it, the magnetic field gets even
stronger.
Like,
sure,
for whatever
sure.
reason, it, yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to nitpick
wood stops
the fact that it's magnetic,
yeah,
because I think they do cool stuff with that. Like,
yeah.
I think it's neat that,
yeah,
when Indy's in the room full of top men, he's throwing gunpowder. Like, it's
yeah.
a neat way
a
of
cool
trying
idea.
To find this object.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, all you have to do is just give me a little bit more believability. Give me
yeah.
some reason why maybe it pulses, maybe it's once an hour instead of once every 5 seconds. Just give me a little bit to go with you on this.
I'm honestly more annoyed that we spend this early scene in this place, and the only thing we see is a like hint of the arc from the first movie, but nothing else that was in this entire place. It's just a warehouse full of
boxes.
Well, because
they don't want to like like use up a cool artifact that they could make a movie with later.
So don't set this scene here. There's no reason to. There's nothing that it adds to this movie for that.
But remember, right? Remember when they talked about Top Men?
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't even have to do stuff that's recognizable. Just have random things and then they're mystical for some reason.
The rest of it is cool. Like the rest of the scene
this
is
was
really
a
fun.
The
with
Huns
the science
hubcaps. Oh, what do those do? I don't
what
know.
The hell?
The rest of the scene is really cool with the science shit that goes down. Like I know that the like nuclear fridge gets a lot of shit and it deserves it to some degree. But like when they're like rocketing away on the like rocket chair or whatever the fuck that thing was, yes. That was really cool. I liked that.
It's dope.
I like the idea of Indy being in a like town that gets nuked and somehow surviving.
Yes.
But it's just the specifics of how it happens that doesn't work.
Because you think back to previous movies again,
mm-hmm.
and it's like Indy takes damage
like a human being.
Like a human being. Like there's mm-hmm. the scene in I can't remember if it's Raiders or if it's Last Crusade where he's just like been in a fight and it might be Marion is going and just like patching him up a little bit and he's like wincing from the pain mm-hmm. of like having been in a fight. It's not even like some giant like oh he fell off the Empire State Building and now he's sore.
Yeah. It's really
like
he's in got all three movies. Yeah.
Yeah. He takes reasonable damage
mm-hmm.
and in this movie. He gets nuked across Nevada
mm-hmm.
inside a fridge and just kind of walks out unscathed.
Well, yeah.
And then later on, they're going off of Niagara Falls in a dinky little open-topped boat.
Yeah.
And they survive just fine.
A duck.
My bad. Yes. And it's that kind of thing where it feels very detached from reality.
Yes.
Which you need in these kind of movies in order for the supernatural stuff to still feel cool.
They went down a mountain like a... we're crashing.
Yeah, that was but we called out that one scene in that movie, and it was the only scene that was that over the top.
I'm just saying it is consistent with stuff that they do.
I would
they
say
have done it
a lot of the stuff they did with consistent. Vehicles was. I mean, it even has the askew colors. Like it's just some bad green screen.
That's what I think is the difference. They are able now to do things that they simply could not do in the 80s. And in the 80s, I think they were
like
able
special
to,
effects wise.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think that they took that and went too far with it.
Oh,
they said,
absolutely.
We can do this. They did not think, should we do this?
Well,
and it's not grounded in the actual laws of physics. It's just they're making decisions on what things happen based off of what looks cool.
Right.
And it's unbelievable.
And you can do that. You
can do unbelievable things as long as they still have reasonable consequences. Like the scene from Last Crusade where Indy is like dangling off the edge of a tank mm-hmm. as he's getting slowly crushed into a rock wall. And
right,
he's getting
yeah.
all this rubble raining down on
he
him.
He looks
and
like he's
his ball is getting destroyed, but he doesn't. Feel
when that tank flies off the cliff at the end and he's pulling himself up, you can tell that he's tired.
Yeah,
and that probably happens because Harrison Ford has done multiple takes and is tired.
Yes,
and he
exactly.
is tired of being in this desert pulling himself up by a root.
And has dysentery.
And
every movie, it's just part of his rider.
What year
now.
Did this
Must
one
give
come
me
out?
Dysentery.
This one,
yeah,
2008.
See that? I think that's the big problem is that right around now is when they start doing.
Is when they came up with a cure for dysentery?
No, when they started doing sequels to where every sequel had to be bigger and bagger than the last movie mm-hmm. before, the other Indiana Jones are just like, here is another adventure in design. It doesn't have to be bigger and bagger than the last one. It's just comparable.
I mean, I think that's always been a thing that people have done, but you're right in that it has not been something that was a problem in the Indiana Jones movies. They were all relatively on the same level, and that's something that I think helped them all stand out and stand alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not building towards a giant climax. It's
exactly.
Just,
it's not like the Fast
the
movies where every time they have to like
one up
this now, time we're driving our Camaro into space.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're time travelers and we're driving next to our old selves.
I think
family.
Another
family
I think another
interdimensional
part of the problem,
family
they're gonna go to aliens next. I think another part of the problem is just Harrison Ford is
kind of car.
Already too old for this part.
Yeah,
like he is doing his best, and I am
right,
honestly
that's why Shia LaBeouf is here is because Harrison Ford is too old.
Yes, but I am genuinely impressed that he did as well as he did. However, there's that scene where he's having the fist fight with the like Soviet dude who's just a normal
in
Soviet
a giant
dude.
Field of ants.
Yeah, you should just have that guy make that guy old too. Like that's all you got to do. Make
sure,
that
I mean,
guy also old.
I mean, he's not like a super soldier like what. Like, Indy's usually fighting like really big guys, and this is just a pretty
looks
big
like
guy.
He's 6 foot
I mean,
four.
Yeah, he's a big guy, but he's not like. He doesn't have 200 pounds
like
on
bald
Indy
guy
like what they're
in
used
Raiders
to.
Of the Lost
one,
Ark,
yeah,
the
I mean that's only one dude. That's only the beef Nazi in the first movie.
Yeah, but he left a big impression.
And
in
I
Indy's
like,
face.
In the first third of this movie, I thought they were going to go a little different way with it because you actually get Indy doing a lot more of like actual talking about archaeology stuff for a little bit. First third of this movie than you get in other ones, where he's like comparing ancient languages and trying to figure out the cipher and all this and that. And I thought it would be interesting to have Indy still try to do some of that action stuff.
Right.
And you've got Shia LaBeouf along with him to do a lot more of the kind of like careless, just throw the first punch and figure out what happens afterwards stuff that Indy used to do.
Sure.
And you could have set it up where you get to see how Indy has matured with like his years of experience now.
He's become more like his dad and wears like silly sunglasses and an umbrella.
And he doesn't have to throw the first punch and figure it out later.
Right.
Because he kind of like actually have a plan about how things are going to work out. And so you still get that reckless adventurousness from Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
But you also still get Indy doing his archaeology and some of the adventuring stuff is just more like calculated.
I completely
agree.
But they didn't,
they just tried to make both of them Indiana.
Yeah, they did. And that's the problem. I think that Mutt both does not have enough screen time to himself to stand out enough. And also he doesn't have a distinct enough identity in terms of like what he brings to the movie to help. Because there's a lot of characters in this that get in fist fights and just help out in that way.
Sure. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He picked his name.
What?
Indy picked his name. His name was picked from a dog. His name is Mutt.
I guess it's tradition.
I guess even
you could have done better than that.
Even though he is like he doesn't know that was his dad, so just like his sperm inside him told him like you need to be named after a dog. Henry's a stupid name apparently.
Where did the Williams come from? Was that the guy?
That was the guy stepdad. That,
okay,
stepdad,
that's, yeah. Okay, that makes some sense. I'm surprised by how inoffensive Shia LaBeouf's performance was, because he got a lot of hate at the time, and I don't think it's deserved. He did fine.
Yeah, I think a lot, at least for me, a lot of it what came down to I don't like that they're setting him up to be the new Indiana Jones.
Right.
Because he has such side character energy, and it's just the imagining watching a movie like this with all Shia LaBeouf and no Harrison Ford makes me want to take myself out.
I think honestly they didn't go far enough with it. Because they have a couple of little nods to it, but they really should have done what you were talking about earlier of like letting him be the younger Indy in terms of like what Indy used to do and be the inexperienced one, but the one who can jump to action, have the good luck that Harrison Ford, have the intelligence in terms of like making it up as he goes along, give all of that to him and let Harrison Ford kind of take a little bit of a back step on that. And I think you could do something that really would have worked and been a lot more endearing to both characters.
I don't know that Shia LaBeouf could ever have given that performance, though.
I don't know. That is a fair thing. But that they should have cast someone else in the part.
I agree, because for me, Harrison Ford feels kind of timeless. Like, you can throw him in like a historical piece, sure, or you could throw him in something in the future far away.
What kind of historical piece? What you mean by historical piece?
Like, maybe he's, you know, fighting Nazis back in the past.
Okay, he's still playing the same role.
Yeah, I mean, Harrison Ford always plays.
I was
Harrison
just saying,
Ford.
You're not going to like put him in a drama role or anything.
Or you could put him in the future where he's hunting down androids. You know, it's a thing.
As long as he is like within his proper, like I don't think he can do a fucking.
What I'm saying is, I think Harrison Ford can be cast in movies that aren't specific to a specific time frame.
Sure.
Whereas Shia LaBeouf always feels like
modern.
I don't know if it's the way that he talks or what, but I've seen him. There's one where I've seen like clips of him in some movie where he's like a tank guy and he's I forget what that movie is called.
I think the issue is that he has a similar problem to what Harrison Ford does, where he always feels like he's still playing Shia LaBeouf. I think he's doing better here than he did in like say the Transformers movies, but he still feels very distinctly, specifically Shia LaBeouf, and that is not a feel that translates easily to 50s greaser. I think he does a better job, like I said, than I remembered, but it's still not great.
I'm glad he gives up like, that hag early.
If I was watching West Side Story, specifically a play performance, not a film rendition, then I feel like that's the kind of greaser I would expect to see on stage. Someone who's obviously trying to portray a greaser, not someone who is one.
Yeah, yes. That makes sense. I can definitely go along with that.
I think a lot of the hate he got as well was just because the movie closes with like the torch being
like
passed.
An alien almost. Or like God or someone is telling him like, hey, here, put this.
It's not subtle at all.
It's not, but I do appreciate.
I really expected Indy to do like the here, take my whip, or like the kid picks up the whip, but then Indy holds it, and then they look at each other.
And I
like,
appreciate
some
that
lightning goes in between their fingers. And yeah. Some shit.
Oh, freaking Friday!
I think this is more respectful than that, and I appreciate that. Like, they don't have him put on the hat; they actually have Indy still take it back. I think that gives it enough leeway with that of like they're hinting at it, but it doesn't have to go that way.
I don't know. There could have been a little more subtly, a moment throughout the film during one of the fight scenes where Shia LaBeouf gets his hands on the whip. He has to use it for whatever reason.
Sure.
And like Harrison Ford looks over and he's like, oh, good job, kid.
Yeah.
What if he gets a scar for like the first time he whips from it?
He uses the whip against the chin.
Yeah. Yeah.
He falls into the ants and from then on he's like, ants, what is it? Why have to be ants?
And it's like the whip feels weird, so he ties his little switchblade on the end, like, oh, that's bad. Like, what?
You're not with chain.
That'd be terrible. That would be awful. But yeah, I think also they really wasted Marion. Because in Raiders, Marion is an iconic part of that movie. Like, she really does sell that part. She's really fun in it. She's something I look forward to seeing when I watch that movie. Right. But here, she's just kind of there to say, like, hey, you fucked me and left. Also, that's your son there. Like, you don't need her
also,
for that.
I like you again now.
Yeah.
I do like that. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I appreciate that they have
like
her.
I like Marion. I like her character. I'm fine with them getting back together. I wish that it had shown
they had
more
some
of
on-screen
like,
chemistry.
And also some on-screen, like, hey, here's the reason you missed out. Like, she should be getting more. In the first movie, she's like out drinking the dudes under the table and like punching guys.
Well,
and
now they're fucking geriatric.
Hold her back. Yeah, but Harrison Ford's still doing shit. You can get a leg double to throw a kick in here and there. Like, she should be getting in on the action at least to the extent that Indy is for the most part.
She should be in the spot that the traitor guy is. She should be there at the beginning in that first scene for whatever reason, because her, like, her dad was like an archaeologist or whatever.
I thought you meant like double crossing and like,
I mean, not that part.
Actually, he's not your son.
Not that
I
part.
Fucked a lot of guys.
But I mean, like, in terms of being there,
were a lot of indies.
Being there from the beginning.
That's why he's a mutt.
Being involved in the plot through the entire thing, because there's no fucking reason for her to be there at all, is there? Like, why does she even show up at the
end? Exactly the same as all the, like, the new Jurassic World, where, like, here are old characters that people remember. That's it.
And you need
That's
more than reason. That. You need a specific reason for them to be there and a specific reason for them to contribute to the plot. Otherwise, it's just a cameo, and it's an extended cameo that doesn't add enough to the movie.
Right. Like, we have... there are examples within Indiana Jones movies. It's like Solo or something like that.
Solo, yeah.
The guy with the voice that sounds like this.
Yeah. Gimli.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Gimli?
He played Gimli.
He shows up. You don't have a whole lot of backstory on who he is. You recognize him immediately. You're glad he's there. He's on screen for like 10, 15 minutes tops. And then he's gone again. And the movie is better for it.
Yeah.
Whereas these characters overstay their welcome the entire length of it.
Well, and it's interesting you brought him, Sulla, up. Because I talked about how we have a number of side characters that feel like you're just expected to intuit what their history is.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be easy to point to Sulla and say, well, hold on, wait a minute. What about him in these movies? Right. And to some extent, they don't explain what the history is between Indy and Sulla, but you also don't need it because his character is in this foreign land. Here is someone that Indy is already friends with who is established in this culture enough to help Indy with whatever
because
he
needs. Professional archaeologist.
The specific difference is that that guy is performing a specific role in the movie throughout the entire thing. You don't need a traitor in this movie except you don't need it at all. You could just have the Russians be on their tail enough to find them.
Or like maybe the chick is actually fucking psychic.
There
and
you
can
go.
Like fill the skull or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Have it be that. This guy performs no real useful role and isn't that interesting in this spot and never becomes interesting.
And then at the end, he's like, don't worry, Indy, I'll be all right. Wink. Like, we were good pals, remember?
It was such a weird thing for someone that is established. His only character trait that is consistent through the movie is that he's greedy and selfish.
Self-centered, yeah.
But so he doesn't want Indy dead.
I guess.
He consistently wants Indy not to be beaten to death.
I guess, but like, why? There's no...
He still wants to be friends. He just also wants to be allowed to be greedy
in
his presence.
Yeah, he wants to go up to Indy and be like, hey, I know I double-crossed you, but come on, we're still buddies,
That's
right?
A poorly put together character because they don't have any conflicting interests at that point. Indy doesn't really care that much about these artifacts.
They should. No.
He
should.
Artifacts are clues to get to the next artifact.
He should
They belong
care
in a museum, he says, while hacking a mummy to pieces.
Exactly. He should care about them in theory, but he clearly doesn't. And so this guy wanting to take them doesn't have any cross purposes with Indy. If they did, they would have some genuine tension there, and you could maybe make something out of that. But really, this guy is just a waste of space and lines. You can give that to another character, and it would be significantly improved.
Well, the writing in general is a lot worse. And you think about, like, it feels like they try and do so many, like, oh, this will turn into a classic Indy line. and it's just, it falls flat, and then it's immediately followed up by his Indiana Jones sting. It's like he said, any last words, Indiana Jones? Yeah. I like Ike.
Yeah. There were some real duds. It was a president.
Campaign slogan for Eisenhower.
Yeah.
And he is against communism?
Yes. No.
Okay. Like, yeah. I just wanted to see what the, because it was also on the bomb, so I'm like, What a
clever line that resonates with today's audience.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But it happens at multiple points. Mm-hmm. Again, something else that really takes you out of the... It makes it feel like an inauthentic Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And not even the bad lines, because I'm sure you could point to a number of bad lines in previous movies, but specifically the, like, here's something that we're just telling you is supposed to be cool, and it's not. And we're telling you it's supposed to be cool because we've got the musical stings to follow it up, or we've, you know, oh, it immediately leads from this cheese ball scene into the classic, like, oh, we're doing the red lines across mm-hmm. the map as they're taking their trips, or whatever.
You didn't like him riding bitch to his son, and then, like, he's in the school, and there's this one other kid who's in the library, he's like, oh, I'm not freaked out at all. By the way, professor, can you tell me about this dude? Like, nah, that dude's a bitch. Listen to this dude. He's a real archaeologist. He breaks shit.
An archaeologist, you gotta get out of the library.
Nerd. Yeah, him riding on the back of the motorcycle, that's not a problem.
No.
But the whole scene as a whole just doesn't is yes. weird. The funny thing about Indiana Jones movies to me is that despite being set in a very specific era, they feel utterly timeless. They don't have references like that.
They don't have
other than the fact that they have like they have Nazis and that kind of illusion.
Again, but Nazis are timeless.
It's they kind of are in a little bit of a way. Like they feel like a perennial villain that could. Yes. If you excised those specific references to them, you feel like this could just happen at any time. He feels like an 80s character to me. So it feels like these stories could happen in the 80s almost.
Yeah.
Because, and I know that is impossible, but it still does kind of have that sense of this doesn't need to be tied into this era with lines like
that. Like, you don't need Indiana Jones to, like, take a bullet for MLK and then,
yeah,
like, you don't need to tie this to
who was famously in the 30s.
Well, until he found the artifact of time travel.
There you go. Yeah,
he sipped from the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail. There you go.
No, you don't need him to be tied to specific historical events or people.
Right? And that's what it is. Like the nuclear bomb, the references to the president, those all feel just weirdly specific to this. And then setting it to the Soviets also is a thing that just is oddly out of place. They can't fill the role of the Nazis the way the Nazis do. And part of that is that they don't let her be, Kate Blanchett's character, be as villainous as a lot of the characters in previous movies were. Like, those guys
feel slimy. She didn't really do anything all that really slimy. She was just like, I just want to find the aliens and know everything.
It's not personal in any way.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. Like, I don't really get... I did not... Prior to her saying, let me know everything, I had no idea what she wanted any of this shit for.
Yes. Yeah.
She was not nearly as desperate as, like, his other villains are to, like...
Because what was the main point in Raiders of the Lost
Ark? They
wanted the Ark because it was a mystical artifact mm-hmm. that would make their super...
It was a radio to God.
A radio to God.
And mm-hmm. the Nazi army wanted to use that as a weapon in war.
What was... I didn't Temple watch of Temple of Doom. What was the deal with Temple of Doom?
Temple of Doom, they had magic rocks. Let's just move on.
There was a temple, and there were cool rocks in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And Holy Grail.
There were radios to
Holy
God.
Grail.
Holy Grail, the Grail gives you immortality and invincibility.
And it's a radio to God.
Mostly just immortality.
Sure. Crystal Skull.
Interdimensional radio to God.
It's a skull.
None of these things are true.
It's a skull that makes you crazy. And you might say that they wanted it for the City of Gold.
Right.
But... only greedy double-crosser guy was the one bringing up gold. The Soviets did not care about the gold.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
And of course it was fucking... There was no City of Gold. It was the friends you made along the way that made the City of Gold.
Oh,
bullshit.
The Mayan word for treasure actually meant intelligence.
No, the Mayan word for gold is treasure, and their treasure was knowledge.
And they paved the roads with knowledge.
And they built their entire city under sea level.
Out of knowledge.
The knowledge of being able to build under sea level without dying.
We have psychic brains that protect us from the water.
It's really weird to me that these aliens that are clearly like higher dimensions beings came back and were like, hey, put some seeds in the ground and water them, dumbass. Like,
it's pretty hard.
Pave the roads with intelligence.
It
making lemons not shiggy takes a long time.
That's fair.
They are all rind if you don't.
The thing that this movie is missing in a lot of this is specifically like, what the fuck are we doing here? What is the purpose of any of this?
Cashing in on an old IP, Rick. How do you not get this?
In the universe, Ryan.
And then once we find out why we're there, it's, well, why the fuck do we care?
Exactly. Yeah.
What is archaeology about cashing in on an old IP?
You know what?
Once they go back and put the skull back, they're just like, cool, glad we're done with that quest. Time to turn around and run home. Dude got better, and then they just pieced. That was it.
Indy,
that's pretty standard, isn't
Indy
it?
Indy didn't want to be there the way he almost always does. Like, normally he's like a lot more. He likes solving the mysteries in this one, but he's like, He was not initially searching for this the way
Here's
that they
the thing.
Were.
What if he doesn't want to be there? What if, but due to the experiences that we've seen in the previous movies where he has seen the explicit supernatural on several occasions, he doesn't believe in this alien bullshit? Maybe he's getting dragged into this, or maybe he just goes along with it to prove, no, this isn't alien shit. That's not real. Gods are real.
Yeah, this
aliens
is real. He,
does,
he like gets into a box and it disappears, and he comes out of another. Like, ah!
That would be an interesting movie.
Imagine if he did that to get away from the Soviets in the room of Top Man.
Yeah,
the very beginning.
But like, if you had him have a specific experience that has like changed him from those previous movies and leads him into something different in this one, that's an interesting change you could go along.
So you're
with
wishing it. That they had pulled a Tony Stark leading up to Endgame.
Sure, something like that. Something to give this character a change that he has been felt through the previous movies and could lead into where they're going with this one.
Sure.
I think, or then it would not feel so out of place that they're going from supernatural stuff to aliens.
Or you could have his hook be that he really doesn't give a shit and doesn't want anything to do with it, but Mutt is getting way too involved because of Mutt's relationship with Ox, right?
Sure.
Oxley. And so Mutt is the one that is gung-ho about, we have to figure out this crystal skull, we have to put it back where blonde, you know, I gotta save
Maybe,
Ox,
yeah.
I gotta do all this and that. And at first Indy is only along for the ride because he wants to get Ox out of there. He doesn't actually care about the whole crystal skull nonsense.
Sure.
And then once he finds out that Mutt is his kid,
maybe
now
yeah.
his whole reason for going along with this is to yes. keep his kid safe and get him back out of trouble.
Sure, that could work.
Because it ties into the whole family thing,
sure,
right?
It does.
You know, his whole reason for going to get the Grail was just to save his dad.
And if we've cut
I mean, he only wanted to get the Grail at the very end to get his dad, but he also did want to see the Grail in that one.
But if
that's another thing, though. Like, he doesn't give a shit about this crystal skull.
No.
He cared about the Ark. He cared about the Grail.
You know what? We can condense two more characters. We need to make...
by the time we're done with this, this is a movie of three
yeah,
people in it.
Fucking
there'll
shit.
Be a high
been
mind.
A better movie.
Get rid of get rid of Oxley. Have that be Marion. Have her be the one that's been a little bit made crazy
yeah.
by the
oh,
skull.
That'd be great.
Have her
Absolutely.
Be the one
that's...
You can
still have her do the same amount of not doing shit in
mm-hmm.
the movie.
Exactly, yes.
And Harrison Ford would be more engaged because of the stakes of this person that he used to love and he mm-hmm. still cares about.
Exactly. We fixed the movie, boys.
Ah, bish, bash, bosh. That's all there is to it. This is a shitty one to go out on, especially leading up
I mean, it's
going to
get worse. That's everything I have seen about the... Okay, this
thank,
is...
The, at least, well, before we get to the new one, mm-hmm. thank goodness... They got Andy and Marion back together. They're
Fuck.
Married.
God
They're
going to
stay together forever.
Mutt's going to be their son. He's going to take on the legacy, be a cool
That's
adventure
right.
guy.
That's
Does he just have Alzheimer's and not remember that he got married? And like,
he's going to be divorced in the new one, and Mutt's going to be dead.
I mean, if they actually talk about it, that's fine, but it seems like they're going to pretend like it never happened.
No, Mutt went back to school, remember?
They're going to specifically call it out that
okay, good.
They got... No, terrible. Fuck that. Just give our character a happy ending.
No, I mean, they should also give him a happy ending, but I'm glad that they're at least not just pretending it didn't happen.
Okay.
Bring Willie back.
Which one was Willie?
No.
Oh,
we all hate.
I always forget because that's the boy's name.
Yeah.
I didn't see that movie. I just know it pisses you guys off.
I We're going to do a second opinions in 10 years where you have to sit through fucking a Temple of Doom.
I hope that I show up in the same way that Indiana did in this, which is trying
Bone
to
it in.
Rehash exactly what happened last time, i.e. I won't be here for that episode either.
You fuck.
This movie sucked, and there are parts of it that aren't as bad as I remembered. I'm going to say specifically Shia LaBeouf is one of those. I was surprised by how competent and fine he did in this movie. despite not having any reaction to getting his nutsack bashed in by a load of foliage.
He was reacting. He just wasn't reacting the way one would normally react.
Yeah, he was getting regularly railed in the nuts, and he was like, oof, ouch, owie, my nuts.
Yeah, but he was getting...
Continuing defense.
He was getting hit by fucking, like...
flowery bits.
They were, what they look like. They look like Venus flytraps, like the big part of Venus flytraps.
Oh, I thought they looked like...
penis flytraps.
Oh!
That was unintentional. My least I just figured it out along the way.
My least favorite part of this movie is Cate Blanchett. She is not an interesting villain.
Huh.
I don't know why she wants the crystal skull until the very end.
She wants to beg her psychic powers.
She is not menacing. She barely threatens our heroes. And every time she does, somebody else comes out of the wings and is like, nah, actually, you don't want to shoot him. It's fine.
Do you guys remember how many times she pulled out a sword before she actually got the sword fight?
Like 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. And her Russian accent is terrible.
It's awful. Yeah.
Throughout the whole movie. And the only reason it gets better towards the end is because she stops trying to do it as much.
Maybe that's what it is.
So Cate Blanchett as Russian villain is my least favorite part of the movie. I don't really have a favorite part of the movie, but I'll say Shia LaBeouf specifically because I thought he was going to be...
Shia LaBeouf is your favorite part about this movie.
I don't have a favorite part of this movie. Shia LaBeouf is the one that stood out to me the most as something I expected to be really shitty and then wasn't. So if you want to count that as a favorite,
that's fair, yeah.
I guess that's what I'm putting into this slot because I didn't enjoy this movie. It was a normal movie length and it felt like it dragged on. And it somehow felt like nothing was going on through the whole movie, and it was boring and a slog, and I didn't want to watch it again. When I saw it in theaters, this is the second time I've ever seen it. I never want to see it again. So I'll give it, like, a 1 out of 5 hats that stay on Indy's head and don't get passed on to anyone else.
I thought this was going to be a 1 for me when I came into it. Like I was sort of dreading this a lot. I know next week is going to, well, not next week, but whenever we see that movie, it's going to suck. Like that's not going to be fun at all. I expect that movie to be really bad.
You know that last week is going to be really bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be painful in a way that this movie is not to me. And that's because I feel like I'm going to get from what I have seen from the trailers, I feel like there will be a distinct disrespect for Indy as a character in that movie. This movie still respects Indy. He's still, he's still basically the main character. He's still basically doing all the things that Indy needs to do. He's just doing it a little slower and not quite as well. And that's the problem. We are comparing this movie to 2 of the best adventure movies that have ever been made and a pretty decent one, better than I remembered, in Temple of Doom. And it is sad to come back to something like that and have it just not work as well. If this had pulled this off, it would really be quite a triumph, I think. But they couldn't quite make it work, and a part of it is that my least favorite thing, it's too bloated. There are too many characters performing too many roles. Condense a lot of that. Give those characters a lot more time to breathe and to interact with each other.
Breathe.
And make this
more
family make this family come together in a way that it doesn't in this movie. It feels like it's just a drop line that you could leave out. Like Marion could just be an old lady that was an old fling of Indies.
There were many Marys.
There were. You could have her just be an old fling. You could have Mutt be an unrelated character that's not his son, and the movie would still function basically the exact same. Harrison Ford he says some lines that give him some more, care about him of like, oh, you're going to school now. You got to finish school. That was dumb of me to say, like that kind of thing. But it doesn't seem to be any difference in the way that he treats him after that. And that's part of the problem.
It doesn't seem like a different level of concern for his safety.
Exactly.
It seems like he's got a different level of concern about like the viability of his future career.
Exactly, which doesn't make any sense and just doesn't fit with the movie.
Sure.
My favorite thing about this movie is, I guess, Harrison Ford. He's still pretty good in it. Like, he is better than I expect him to be next time. We'll see how it goes. A guy in his 60s versus a guy in his 80s. We'll see how it works out.
I mean, how many years is it between?
15.
15. I mean, 15 years is a long plus time to get tired.
Yeah. And he was 66 when this movie came out, if I remember correctly.
Right. Jesus.
So, like, he's an old guy.
He's in pretty good shape.
He was. I checked it out on Wikipedia. He actually got in shape for it to do his own
stuff. I mean, he's no
Jay
Jonah Jameson. But have you seen him recently?
Yeah, he was jacked.
What was he getting jacked for? Is it just because he feels like it?
He just wanted to. Anyway.
It wasn't for a fucking drum movie?
I don't know. That would be a weird movie for him to be jacked for, but maybe.
He's way too jacked for a drum movie. I'll put it that way. Maybe he's trying to be Omni-Man.
I mean...
Anyway, different thing. Let's talk about this movie. I want to give this a better score than I do, than I'm going to, but I also expected to give it much lower. But this movie doesn't deserve the utter hatred that it gets. It's still not a great movie. I'm going to give this 2.5 ants devouring a guy and dragging him down a
strong
anthill.
Ants.
They were strong.
Two ants.
Huge ants. Smaller than I remember. Yes, they were huge ants.
I mean, they are big for ants, but that is not huge.
Yeah, I remember
like the size
of
peanuts.
I remember them being the size of like small dogs.
No, they were not. They were the size of like jumbo peanuts.
That's what I was expecting coming into this, was that like it was going to be like The Flash, but with giant ants and Shia LaBeouf swinging on ropes, and now it's just boring.
They've got a thorax the size of a grape.
Right. Brian, tell us what you think.
That's what I think, is that I was coming in here expecting at least fucking The Flash level. Like, because The Flash was funny to me. When he pretended to die and like all the dumbass scenes in that was funny. Whereas in this is just a boring, it's Jurassic World all over again.
It is a lot like that, yes.
Soulless cash grab?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly. They're like, we still own this IP and this guy's not dead yet. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And that's what this next one's going to be.
I can't wait for them to have learned their lesson prior to making number 5.
Now, I can only assume that Harrison Ford doesn't like the idea of calling himself old, because this was the perfect opportunity for him to say, like, I belong in a museum. And if he doesn't say in the next one, I don't know what all this is for. Like, what is the point?
Someone
if
is going
he does
to say
not
you belong
say
in a museum.
Yes.
It's
going
to happen.
This is just a middling, not nearly as bad, but also not funny because it's not that bad movie. But so,
which somehow makes it worse.
Yeah, it's worse, so I can't like rate it funny. I can't give it funny points. It's just like, it is small ants. They're still kind of big ants, but it's like, if your grandma calls you like, my room is flooding, you get there and she just spilled like a cup of water. Like, I mean, this is, I guess it's flooded for by room standards, but this is not flooded.
This is the weirdest simile.
What else can you equate slightly larger than average ants to, Rick? There is nothing out there other than, like, look at this slightly bigger than average grape in my thing of grapes. That is a huge grape. No, it's still a pretty, I mean, like, it still fits between two fingers. I still eat. It's not an apple-sized grape.
Yeah, but you're still stretching your fingers further out.
Yeah, but I mean, it is,
if you showed me an egg-sized grape, I'd be like, damn, that's a huge grape. See, I don't need to be James the Giant Peach burrowing out of a grape to say, you know what? This is larger than average.
Yeah, but there are ants, like those weird, what are they called? Velvet ants? They're actually like fucking wasp or whatever.
Yeah, but those are only like that big.
That is almost as big as the ones in this
Absolutely
movie.
Absolutely. Because
these are small enough to still flood into mouth and not like get crap. Like, you can, like, they can shoulder to shoulder like 8 ants into a mouth.
No, 2 at a time.
No, they're not that big. How many ants? What are 2 things you could fit into your mouth?
I've got just a big barely. Fucking mouth.
Yeah, but just barely, what could you fit 2 things into your mouth?
Eggs.
Okay, so you think these thighs are as big around as eggs?
No, but lengthwise, they're probably egg-sized.
Yeah, but that's like...
Brian, rate the goddamn movie!
No, this argument is more interesting than that entire movie was. Keep going.
An egg-length ant is a huge ant.
Yeah, but, like, we have regular roaches that size that's still within bug category size.
Well, yeah.
Like, they're still tiny categories.
I didn't say, oh, man, I can't wait for them to get chased by dogs with mandibles.
Yeah, but
we've
seen movies and games and comics where when someone says he was attacked by huge ants, you're like, oh, man, that must have been at least as big as my big toe.
See.
I mean, that's terrifying. As big as my thumb.
See, your problem is that you're just comparing it to other movies.
Okay, maybe. But this is also like number 5.
In a vacuum, these ants are pretty big.
I think there are ants that exist that are as big as these ants. These are not supernatural.
Absolutely not.
Google world's biggest ant.
I'm looking up. You finish your thoughts, and I'm Googling world's biggest ant.
I get 1.5 out of 5. Slightly larger than average ants.
I'm mad.
Caleb.
I'm going to try to get us back on track talking about this movie again.
That is your purpose on this podcast.
So
Hold on, before you do that.
Okay.
I looked up the world's biggest ant. The world's biggest ant, the biggest ants in those in that ant family, because, you know, you got different types
of ants. Yeah, there's exceptions.
Uh-huh. All right. The biggest ants within the biggest ant family are 1.5 inches long.
So pretty big ants.
So about that ant.
No. Yeah. The ant was at least 2 inches long.
About that ant.
Perfectly average length.
Continue, Caleb.
So this movie was not particularly good, but also it was in the middle of the bad spectrum. You go far enough on that, suddenly you have a good movie again.
Exactly.
If nothing else, we could have a good podcast tearing in a new one, whereas this movie was just bad at everything, including generating content to some extent. My least favorite thing about this movie has to be the way that they leverage special effects and how cartoonish they feel. The fact that they're able to just set aside, like, at least with the laws of physics, not like practical effects aren't like the end all be all. I don't usually feel that way, but the way that they implemented the special effects this way, I mean, we've made a lot of progress in the past 15 years, first and foremost, but the rules of engagement here are just downright cartoonish. Mm-hmm. The fact we have Shia LaBeouf swinging from vines, like this is some
like
fucking Tarzan.
Like the jungle.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we've established that's how this works. Like, we've seen fucking Tarzan, and you can catch up to speeding, like, bullet trains.
But
with
what's
vines.
Worse is when Marion goes full fast duck. 10 and a duck drives off a cliff with the crew in the back, hits a tree, rides the tree down, and kind of goes schloop off of it into the water, which would otherwise been like a 150-foot drop.
Right. What does she do
for
her
job? Don't
worry,
Caleb. They can survive 150-foot drops because they got three waterfalls to go
over. Why not just make it like the slow motion? Everyone's like, when they drive off the edge, land in there, and apparently everybody's going to be fine.
What if when they all came up out of the water and they were all in their own refrigerators and they were all fine?
I wanted to, like, they crash into the water, it disappears under the waves for a minute before popping back up, and they've somehow all swapped seats that they're sitting in. Oh, God.
They're all wearing each other's outfit.
But speaking of Marion, I did enjoy the fact that they brought her back in, even though she was a relatively minor character. She didn't do a whole lot. Harrison Ford gives us a solid performance. It's just that, boy, I just wish this was the last one, you know, mm-hmm. because this was the part where you go off into the sunset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
they have a happily ever after at the end of the movie.
Exactly. You literally have a bow on it and everything. And they just don't know when to quit. Like, for fuck's sake.
People don't die as young as they used to.
This can be the ending in your heart if you want it to be.
I don't want this to be my ending.
You can let the good parts of this ending be the parts that happened in your heart.
I want Last Crusade to be the ending.
Okay, works for me.
The greatest frustration is that I know that you all have already listened to the episode where I'm probably even more upset because of the way they continue to butcher this IP that is a part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. With all that being said, I'm going to give this movie 1.5 geoglyphs out of 5.
All right.
The way you said that made it seem like you were going to give it much better. Like, all that being said,
I was thinking about giving it a 2, but the more I thought about it, the more pissed off I became.
I was 2-ing. I'm like,
I think that's reasonable.
I can't do it.
I thought Rick was going to do that when he's like, I really should be rating this far, far less, but I'm going to give it a 1.
If we did negatives, which I'm trying to implement, they won't let me.
Oh, gosh. If you want to hear us try and be negative, you can listen to more of our podcast.
I'll try.
I mean, sometimes I really have to, like, put effort into giving a shit.
Like this episode.
Unless we're talking about ants.
Yeah, I did not care until we were talking about the actual scale of ants.
I was editing an episode earlier, and, like, Robin walked in and was like, I've never heard Brian this angry before.
Which episode?
I don't even remember.
Was I angry at y'all or angry at the movie?
I think it was The Flash, and so I think it was the movie.
Okay.
If you want to hear Brian get mad, you should find those episodes on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and OpinionatedPodcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. Feel free to come join us on the Discord. We always love hanging out with you guys there, sharing memes, talking about the podcast. The link to that is going to be in the description as well as in our Twitter bio. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.